Maybe you oughtn't to have done it, Roy.
Well, what do you mean? You love me, don't you, Edie?
Sure, Roy. Of course I love you. You ought to know that by now.
And after what I've done for you tonight, you're a fine one to say maybe I oughtn't to have.
Oh, I don't mean because you've done what you did to Fred. It's just that I'm scared.
Of what? That Fred will come back to haunt us?
No, that the sheriff will find out.
Leave that to me. Mel and Turk is just waiting for the news. We'll take care of things. All I got to do is call up Mel Tanner.
You ain't going to get him over the phone. That'll be all over town like wildfire.
Say, you don't take me for such a fool as that, do you? All I've got to say is, boys, we've got to do something. They'll understand.
Oh, I see. Be careful, boy.
Hush up. Hello, Mel. Is Turk with you? Mel, we got to do something.
A radio play for today, The Perfect Crime, is taken from a story to be found in the American Weekly, that remarkable magazine which is read by more people than any other publication in the world. This interesting and entertaining magazine is distributed each week with every Hearst Sunday newspaper from coast to coast. The 5:18 whistles as she approaches the station of Watsonville. Everybody has come down to watch the evening train come in and, incidentally, to give a big send-off to the mayor who is going to the state convention.
Here she comes, boys. Been a send-off like that since the time we sent Ellie Mae Taggart off to that beauty contest up to the Capitol.
That's right, Gabby, and if anyone remembers, you do. Seems like you know everything about everybody. Where folks go, what's her, and when they're coming back.
Well, Sheriff, there's only one feller who ever managed to fool me, if I do say so myself.
Who's that, Gabby?
Oh, hello, Mel. Didn't see you standing there behind me while I was speaking about Fred Cotter.
Fred Cotter.
Yeah, it certainly was. Plum mystifying the way he suddenly disappeared.
You're right, Sheriff. He didn't leave Watsonville, but clean. I can take most on that. And Ike Tallman up to the gay rod says he never went away in his own car, nor anyone else's, neither.
That Ike Tallman thinks he knows it all.
Yeah, he knows everything that's got to do with autos in this town, Mel Tanner. If you were to ask me, I think it's mighty funny thing about the way Fred Cotter dropped out of sight without anyone seeing him leave town.
Shucks. Just because you chairwarmers up the general store don't see every move a person makes, why, you think there's some great mystery being hatched up.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, until a complete of foul play comes to my office, I ain't much concerned what happened to Fred Cotter.
Now, I ain't saying nothing, mind you, but I got my theory.
Such as?
And maybe he skedaddled to leave the way clear for Roy Jennings. Appears to me as if Roy's been paying Fred's wife a lot of attention since Fred disappeared.
Well, what of it? Edie's too good a looking woman to be left without a man very long. I bet if you had Roy's chances, you'd play a shadow yourself, Gabby Stevens.
Well, here comes Roy now. Sheriff, why don't you ask him about Fred?
Well, I'd be more inclined to ask him about Edie.
What's all this about Edie?
Why, hello, Roy. Gabby here has expressed an opinion that Fred Cotter lit out to give you free rein to spark Edie.
Well, of course, Fred didn't confide his reason to me as to why he left our peaceful community. But I can't say I'm sorry he's gone and left Edie for me.
Yeah, what'd I tell you? Roy's in love with Edie Carter.
Sure I am. She's my blonde baby.
Good for you, Roy. That's nothing to be ashamed of. And with her husband skiting out and leaving her, Edie ought to be able to get a divorce on the grounds of desertion.
Do you think so? Honest, sir?
I sure do.
Well, that gives me encouragement. I'll have to pass your opinion over to Edie.
Now, why don't you ask him about Fred, Sheriff?
All right, I will. Roy, what do you know about the sudden disappearance of Fred Carter?
Why, nothing much. Only the last day I saw him, he looked like he'd been drinking.
Yeah, there you go.
Fred said he was leaving town that day. I told him to sober up. That was the last time I ever saw him.
He didn't say where he's going or why.
Nope. But here comes Indy. You can ask her.
Go ahead, Sheriff. Maybe we'll learn something about this big mystery.
This big mystery? What you talking about now, Gabby?
Same thing everybody's been talking about. Where your husband Fred disappeared to.
Oh.
I don't suppose you know, Edie.
Oh, I'm sorry to disappoint you, Gabby, but as far as I'm concerned, Fred disappeared as completely as if the earth swallowed him.
Yeah, that ought to stop you, Gabby. But I know it won't. Come on, Edie. Let you and me go uptown and get a glass of beer and give Gabby here something more to talk about.
Think you're smart, don't you?
Maybe we'd better have a chaperone, Roy.
Yes, you're right. Come on, Mel. You chaperone us.
Roy told you that time, Gabby.
You just wait. Them smart Alex
will find out. What are you going to do, Roy? Everybody's asking what's happened to Fred.
Yeah, I know. I guess we got him out of the way a little too quick.
Yeah, I told you so, Roy. I said you can't have a man suddenly disappear in a small town like this without stirring up talk.
Yeah? Well, I know a way we can stop that talk.
We do, Roy?
How, Roy?
Listen, Mel. Meet me at the edge of Wilson's Woods at midnight. We got to do something.
You?
Sure, it's me. Don't stand there like I was a ghost. Give me a hand with this stuff.
What you got there, Roy?
Everything we need. Heck, I should have had you meet me over the Edies instead of here. Gosh, my arm's tired.
Let me take that lamp and shovel.
Yeah, all right. Watch out for this bundle. There it goes. I knew it would.
Clothes. Sure, Mel. Shoes. Pants. Shirt. Cap. What you gonna do with this stuff, Roy?
I told you I knew a way how we could stop folks talking about Fred Cotter, didn't I?
Yes.
Well, this is it. These are Fred's clothes.
You want me to dress up like him and let somebody see me?
No. We're going to... Quiet. Listen.
I don't hear nothing but them frogs.
Listen. There's somebody coming this way.
I'll bet it's the sheriff. Let's run for it, Roy.
Oh, don't be a fool, Mel. The sheriff's home a bed long ago.
Then who can this be? A ghost?
A ghost. Don't let your nerves get the best of you, Mel.
Well, it's mighty scary out here at this time of night with them frogs a-croaking and so near to the place.
What of it? You got to go through with this, Mel Tanner. Or else...
I'm with you, Roy. I'm with you. Only I don't like it out here.
Look out. Here comes somebody.
Roy.
Edie. What are you doing here, Edie? I thought you was home.
I couldn't be here alone, Roy. Not to be up to something out here. Howdy, Mel.
Oh, Edie.
What are you going to do, Roy?
You go on back to the house, Edie.
Can't.
I'll come by in a little spell. Me and Mel here is going to put an end to all this questioning about Fred for good and all.
Well, let me help.
No. You'd best go back to the house, Edie.
Don't you love me, Roy?
Oh, sure I do. Ain't I going to marry you as soon as you get that divorce the sheriff says you can get?
Then let me help you and Mel. What are you going to do with Fred's clothes?
We're going to put them on Fred.
So that's it. I might have known.
Roy, you mean you're going
to... Yes. I can't stand folks questioning any longer. Getting under my hide. One of these days, I'll blurt it out that Fred's dead and buried. There's only one way to stop folks talking. And me and Mel's going to take that way tonight.
You're crazy to touch that body, Roy. Nobody's discovered it's buried out here, and like as not, they never will.
Now, listen, Edie, listen. If folks thought that Fred had committed suicide, it'd stop their talk, wouldn't it?
Yes, but Fred didn't kill himself. You...
Shut up! I know he didn't kill himself, but when me and Mel get through... It's going to look like he did.
Well, Edie, everything turned out fine, didn't it?
Sure, Mel. Say, getting my divorce was as easy as falling off a log. And everybody's forgot about Fred. Nobody even talks about it anymore. Seems like you and Roy had all your work for nothing out there in Wilson's Woods.
Yeah, seems like it. They haven't found the body yet, and it's been over a year.
That's right. Or maybe this is Roy. He's always forgetting his keys.
Howdy, Edie. Roy home?
Oh, Sheriff.
Hi, Edie.
And Gabby. Well, no, he ain't. What'd you want to see him about?
Well, it'll keep till he gets home. But I may as well tell you that we found Fred.
What?
Huh? You say you found Fred?
Oh, hello, Mel. Didn't see you here. Yes, we found poor Fred, or rather his remains. Seems like he didn't desert you after all, Edie.
Mm-hmm.
You've been a widow ever since he disappeared.
Well, how do you know?
Well, appears like Fred hung himself in Wilson's Wood. Mm-hmm. We identified the body by the metal badge on the cap. Had his worker's number on it.
Oh.
Hey, that's some news, Sheriff. Yes, I'll mosey along and tell the boys.
Well, not just yet, Mel. You're under arrest.
Me?
For the murder of Fred Carter.
I didn't kill him.
Sir Petty said you did.
Sir Petty's a liar. I didn't kill Fred.
You hear that, Gabby?
He didn't kill Fred.
Well, that's going to take proving, Mel.
I can prove it. Roy Jennings killed him.
Mel Tanner, what do you say?
It's true and you know it. He, Turk Petty, and Hob Wilson stopped in that morning. You and Roy were standing by Fred's bed.
It's a lie.
Fred said Roy Jennings stabbed me, and he pulled open his nightshirt and showed me the place in his chest.
Don't you pay him no mind, Sheriff.
Well, sounds mighty interesting to me. You hear that, Gabby?
Yep, I hear him, Sheriff.
Well, go ahead, Mel.
Well, I said I'd get a doctor. But Roy says no. He says, let him die, the dirty brute, always beating up Edie. Then him and Edie go behind the bed where they start a kiss.
We never kissed.
You did, too. Me and Trent got fussed. We start to get out. Roy follows us to the door and says he'll call us up when Fred's dead, as he'll want some help of burying him.
And so you buried him?
Yes, and he stayed buried until the night the mayor went to state convention.
What do you mean?
Well, that night, Roy said he couldn't stand folks asking him about what's happened to Fred. So he made me help him fix it to look like a suicide. Don't tell him, Edie.
I won't tell him no such thing.
That's right, Edie. The law says a wife don't have to testify against her husband.
Well, what do you mean, against my husband? You arrested Mel here.
Well, he's unarrested now.
What?
I tricked him into telling his version of the killing.
Well, I'll be...
It jives with what Turk Petty really told us. He says that Roy killed him.
And here comes Roy now, Sheriff.
Roy.
Oh, what's the matter, Edie?
They know. Mel and Turk have told him about Fred.
Told him what about Fred?
How you killed him, Roy.
How I killed him? You're crazy, Sheriff. I just heard downtown they found Fred's body hung on a tree. A suicide.
Take out your hands, Roy.
Well, look here,
I'm
Sheriff.
I'm taking you down to the jail for murder.
Oh, Roy. Roy, I knew they'd find out.
I'll have to take you along, too, Edie.
Me? Well, what for?
Might be slick the way you two pulled the trick. I never even suspected Fred was dead until they found that body.
You never suspected?
Nope. It would have been the perfect crime if only you remembered that old proverb. Let's sleep and die.
This radio drama to which you have just listened was taken from a story which is only one of the many fascinating features to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the world's greatest circulation. This magazine is distributed each week with every Hearst Sunday newspaper from coast to coast. This is Wentworth announcing and turning the microphone over to your own announcer. Thank you.